Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 399. Can you believe we're only one away from 400? How'd that sound? Over the microphone. But I am. I'm excited about 400. I mean, 400 podcasts. That's pretty cool. But hey, we're not on that, are we, Tom? We're on 399. It's not a straight line. It's just not a straight line. That's not bad news. Because along that mountain that you're climbing, you realize you don't got to carry it. Good news, you're still climbing it. You're still finding out, discovering. Still, you're still the old you. You're going to be the old you for a long time. But there's enough good that keeps you going. Thus, it's not a straight line. It's not just do A, get B, win. That's done. Don't have to work on me anymore. No, working on you will be a job, hopefully, that you enjoy the rest of your life, because it will be a lifetime thing. You don't just get to a destination predetermined. Go, cool, did that, worked on me, now. But you get the levels. But you get to a 7, you just want to be an 8. You get to an 8, you just want to be an 8.4. You want to be an 8.9. You want to be a 9. Trust me on that one. But I got some crazy, some crazy stories, man. Just one walk to the 7-Eleven, which is like 3 minutes from my house, and what all happened along that walk, and some client stories, all of them good, all of them about the path of being pro you is not a straight line. And then I read a really great article. It's not long, but just the energy of gratitude, and just the title grabbed me, like the energy created by gratitude. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's what I talk about. That's exactly what I'm sharing. Like, that's how I got here. I feel a certain energy. And it's this quote I just keep seeing, and I posted it again. Gratitude makes what you have enough. And I was like, that's it. That is it. You say, oh, my God, look what I have. Well, didn't you have all that like 3 years ago and you weren't happy? Yep. Well, what's changed? It's the same exact stuff. I'm better. When you change, the things you look at change. You need help. I got some clarity. I got some dope clients that are living the best lives they've ever lived. They're being the best versions of themselves. They're being authentically themselves. And I just love to help people. So a bunch of ways, but shout out, holler, message me. If you'd like to chat, Skype, FaceTime, Zoom, phone chat at all. We just love to help more people. I'm in a great place, and that's what I can do. And I have that complete faith and belief in my ability to help people at this point. So I'm just putting out that you just got to do your thing, which is reach out to me. Thank you for being you. Thank you for listening, and enjoy. So I decided just to get into this one topic off the bizat today. The number of mass shootings in the U.S. in 2021 as of April 16th. So we're looking at 3.5 months. 147. 147 mass shootings in 3.5 months. There are roughly 16,438 car accidents a day. 16,438 a day. People are raped or sexually assaulted per year. 433,000 people above the age of 12 are raped or sexually assaulted per year. And the last stat, which you might be aware of, nearly 550,000 deaths per COVID in the last year and a half. You should be so thankful at the end of the day, dropping to your knees, eyes full of tears with gratitude that you didn't get shot, that you weren't in a car crash, that you weren't raped or assaulted, and you didn't die of COVID. And I talk to people and they start talking about, oh, I had such a bad, and they start going through their bad day and why it's a bad day. I'm like, and I'm not judging them. I'm just shocked now because of where I am at what some people are thinking about and what some people are considering tough, bad, a test. Struggle, difficulty, uncomfortableness. Like, you know, I just think it's like the superpower. And I posted this quote because I kept repeating it so much. Gratitude makes what you have enough. Like just that one word, that one skill, all of a sudden, hey, look how dope my life is. It takes work. And number one, identify most of the things that are causing y'all to have a bad day have nothing to do with you at all. But you're connected to all these external things, hoping all these external things go one way every day, the same way. So you can plan and predict and not have any bad moments or struggles. And when you get thrown, they don't have your item at the grocery store. The road you wanted to take was closed. Someone took your parking spot. Got nothing to do with you. Now, if you get shot today, you get in a car accident today, you get raped today, you die of COVID, get COVID today. All right. I got it. Something to focus on. But if not, fill yourself with gratitude. Come to my well by the water I sell. Booyah. Why gratitude is important. Why gratitude is an important element in your intentions. I just love that title. And I dug the article. Again, from Buddha Groove. Manifesting your intentions requires being in that high vibration state of receiving. If you're not there, you'll never connect with your intentions. Gratitude is an important tool for shifting your energy into that high vibration state. Here is why gratitude is important for manifesting intentions and some exercises to incorporate into your regular intention processes. Those I'm not listing. The energy of gratitude is high vibration. I mean, that just sounds dope. The energy of gratitude is high vibration. Like, okay, sign me up forever. I want to join that club. You can't feel grateful for something without having your vibration level raised. Fact, 2 + 2 = 4. Do A, get B. Do C, get D. Do what you like what you do, repeat. The energy of gratitude is high vibration. You can't feel grateful for something without having your vibration level raised. Even the smallest of gratitude statements elevates your vibration level. You mean like little things done consistently? This is why you start out being grateful for small experiences. You'll create a positive, high vibration foundation on which you will build as you integrate your gratitude exercises with your intention process. That made me smile. That made me laugh because that's how I started 8 years ago. Moved to this apartment. It was empty. I was with my ex and her daughter, my stepdaughter, for 14 years. And the moment, the day, the first night I came to this place where I'm recording from right now, the Zen Garden in Hollywood, I knew everything in a sense. Like I had complete clarity. Like I knew the bad was gone. I knew her bad was gone. And I felt peace from that. But the quiet, the amount of quiet, because it was always, you know, my ex, her daughter, a friend, her mother, a couple, you know, it was just 3-4 women, basically the entire 12 to 14 years. Well, married 12 years with her 14 years. So it was, the silence was deafening. But I remember that first night going, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I know what the new demon is, and I'm thankful that the old one was gone. And I never asked for anything. So I was like walking out my door one day, and I remember this, and I said it a bunch on the podcast, but I literally took a step out my door, and I didn't think, I was just leaving, just out the door, grabbed my keys. I stopped, 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out the door, and I turned around. And I looked in, and I wasn't making a bunch of stuff. I wasn't, you know, this was early healing time. I did the minimum. Had a client, went and trained, needed groceries, went and got it. Other than that, I was on a couch. But I stopped, 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out the door, and I turned around and I looked inside. And I said, I'm thankful for my home. And that was not even like a decision. And I was like, and again, that's why I repeated it so much. It was like, you know, I just, you know, you say like 1 foot here in this world, 1 foot out of the world. And it's kind of how I feel like I live now. But in that moment, it was very tangible. It was like a physical representation. Like I walked one step out of the door, stopped, turned, paused, and displayed gratitude for what I had. And that was just a roof. But 8 years, not 8 years later, look at me now. So you'll create a positive high vibration foundation on which you will build upon that. So I'm like, yes, that's exactly what happened. I didn't know it at the time, but here I am. All right, so they have one warm-up gratitude exercise I'm going to go over. This is a good way to get yourself accustomed to working with gratitude statements. When you become familiar with the effects of this on your vibration level, you can move to more specific gratitude exercises. Now, again, I didn't really do anything. I was just thankful. I didn't complain. I didn't whine. I didn't have a prayer list, a wish list, things I needed, wanted. I just said thank you. And it was like, okay, I ate today. Okay, I paid my bills today. Oh, I paid rent. Okay, you know, it was just, all right, check the box, and I was thankful. Number one, find a quiet place in which to meditate for a few minutes. Two, close your eyes and take a few deep breaths as you relax. Three, visualize a meter with a scale from 0 to 100 on it. Position the pointer on the meter where you think your vibration level currently is. Now, focus on the random thoughts that come into your mind and create a gratitude statement for that thought. For example, I am so grateful for my breath. I'm so grateful for my cat. I'm so grateful for my new shoes. After a few moments of this, check your vibration meter to see where the pointer has moved to. This is a good general meditation exercise to get yourself into the high vibration of gratitude. When you're ready to integrate this with your intention work, try this next exercise. Well, I'm not going to get into that. My point being, which is the first two paragraphs are what I really wanted to read. It just, you know, and that's the point, is I didn't talk about the power of gratitude 6 years ago. I didn't talk about vibration. I didn't talk about frequency. I didn't talk about a lot of this stuff. But now I've experienced, and it's like I don't have any other words for vibration, higher frequency, the power of gratitude. You know, that's just, yeah, 2 and 2 is 4. That's what I'm telling. That's what I'm selling. That's what I'm hoping you're buying for free. So it's just like, again, you know, I've said this a lot of time. I'm not highly studied. I, you know, wasn't a philosophy major. Don't read at all. But got through my life doing some stuff and remembered some stuff. And then I started this podcast and I started, you know, Googling stuff and researching stuff. And I'd find some cool articles. And over the past few years, there are a couple books and parts of books that I've read. And it's like, you know, here are these famous people, you know, Chopra and Eckhart Tolle, and, you know, just really famous people. And you start hearing some of the things they're talking about. And when they coincide with what you learned about yourself and the path you're walking, it's pretty dope and it's pretty cool. And then again, I've always liked these quotes and they kind of resonate with me. And then someone's story or someone's book or someone's topic or subject, whatever, something I Googled would resonate with me. It would be like, it would just reinforce it. And now I'm like, yeah, I didn't make up any of these words, and I'm not the first dude to experience any of this stuff. It's just all new to me. These are all firsts for me, and that's what I'm sharing. You know, someone said, I was talking to Mosher yesterday, and he said it. He goes, what you've done is you just grew your gratitude. I mean, he just looked at me, and he's like, that's what it is. You just became so thankful that that became your power. And I hadn't even read this article yet. It's just funny how it all kind of happened. I thought about it, and then, you know, I had this, you know, the email, but I hadn't uploaded, you know, the article. I hadn't even read the title of it. I just loved it. You know what I mean? Because gratitude should be in your intentions. You know, it's realizing what you have, realizing what you're not going through, realizing what you're not battling. Realize, like, be highly freaking aware of what could happen and what didn't happen. Like, how was your day? It was bad. They didn't have what I wanted at the grocery store. I had to drive to 2 different stores. It's like, okay, that's a fact, it's information, but that can't be what comes out of your mouth after I had a bad day. Unless you're unaware. Unless you're, you know, just completely not paying attention to anything or anyone around you because you are so consumed by your stuff. And I've seen that. This thing I always said about my little brother. He's got on the phone with him and he just starts telling me how he was, you know, what he was saying to my sister. And I'm like, you're complaining to our sister who's, like, actually dying? Like, I was like, whew. How? And I just got it. Like, his shit was piled so high, he couldn't see past it. And that makes sense. So, again, it's not really judging. You know, oh, you're a bad person. Like, oh, no, I get why you're that way. Or when I listen to someone talk, I'm like, wow, you're just focused on the wrong stuff. You know, and that's, I said this week, I think I told 3 clients. I go, do you know how many mass shootings there were? And I was telling, I think it was almost 60. Because I heard this number, like 53, 54. And I was like, what? I mean, I literally think I've heard of like 6 mass shootings this year. And then I Googled it, and it's 104. I was like, because you can Google it, and it just brings up all the articles. So I was just kind of briefly reading those like little highlights. And I saw 147. I'm like, okay, that's not this year. I mean, that's not. And I'm like, I pulled it up, and I'm like, and every list wouldn't give a total. They would just list all. And I'm like, come on, this is way more than 50. And I went to the 3rd one finally. And I'm like, I should just count. And I was like, there was 7 pages. And there was 20 on each page. And I go, that's like, and I like that one, the first article I pulled, 147. 147 mass shootings in the U.S., United States. You know, this is where we live, people. You know, this great country of ours. Like the odds of you just getting randomly shot at a store, at work, it's quite high, I believe. That's what I mean. You got to change your glasses. You know what I mean? You got to take off your victim glasses and you got to put on your pro-you perspective glasses. I got through today. I have a home. I had food, shelter. No one got shot today. Great day. Way to go. I'm just going to kneel down for a moment and cry with gratitude. Tell me where the bad is. Keep doing it. Tell me where the bad is. Do it for a year. Tell me where the bad is. So, I wouldn't say fascinated, intrigued, interested, curious about homeless people. And I've talked about a lot, walked by, and I'm like, how do you do what you do? And I'll see, you know, some around Hollywood, and I'm like, you know, they'll have this makeshift tent that's like, you know, 100 feet long. And I'm like, how much stuff do you need? And they'll have, you know, 20 bikes, and they'll have a couch, and they'll have furniture. And I'm like, like, why are you gathering all this stuff? It's just, and I get like, well, we do it. We buy a house and we fill it with stuff. So I kind of get it, but I'm like, you're homeless. You might have to move. You know, I just think you want to be more mobile. And I would always kind of think of this one dude, but he was one of the guys that kind of like gave me the whatever. I don't know what word to use. Just kind of gave me the creeps. You know, his hair was so dreadlocked and matted. It was just this big thing that hung off kind of one side of his head. And never wore socks. And one day I saw the biggest, nastiest sore come on the bottom of his foot. And I was just like, oh, like when you looked at this dude, you went, oh, homeless. Like you don't, like sometimes they have actor portrayers or they have a billboard up and they'll home. And like, that never looks like a homeless person. This dude looks like a homeless person. And he sat across the street from the 7-Eleven. It's like two blocks from my house, right off of Sunset. There's this little spot on the sidewalk, and it was his spot. And he'd have like three little plastic bags. Like one had a blanket, one had maybe, I don't know, change of clothes. And he kind of had those couple bags, and that was it. Like that's all that dude have. And every night, through the night, in the morning, he was there. And once in a while, I'd stop at 7-Eleven, walk in Zen, and he'd be right out there, you know, begging for change. And I was just like, oh, and he'd mumble, and he'd have this weird voice. And I would hear him, like, yelling and making these noises and, you know, just kind of a big tolerant. He just gave me, again, just the creeps. And I'm not, you know, it is what it is. I'm just telling that's how it made me feel. I just, you know, avoided the guy. But, you know, every time, you know, I walked in a certain way and I just would always pass him in the morning. And 3 mornings ago, I'm you know, doing my jog with Zen. And, you know, I'm about to cross the street where I just right get to him. So I always look behind me, make sure Zen's by me. We start crossing the street and I notice that he's like just off the curb on the street, this homeless dude. And I didn't think anything of it. But it was like, you've never seen him. He's just right on the edge every morning. I mean, I've had Zen 5 years, so I'm assuming that's how long I've seen him. So that day, I go to 7, and I didn't even put anything together. I just happened to go to that 7-Eleven. Like I said, once in a while, I stopped there with Zen, and the person in front of me is talking to the woman, and she's like, yeah, he died, and this and that. And I was like, and right, I went, he was dead. Like I saw a dead body this morning. And just ran by it. Like, I ran by a bunch of times and he's curled up sleeping. So, I mean, to me, he was just sleeping. But for some reason, he was off the curb and just on the edge of the street. But when I thought of it, how he was laying, you know, it didn't look like he was sleeping. And that kind of all of a sudden bothered me. you ran by a dead dude and didn't even stop. And I'm like, you know, like trying to come up with a good answer that I didn't feel funky about. And then I get up in front and I said, I ran by that guy. And she goes, yeah, some people saw him not moving and they called the police and they, you know, came and checked him and he had died. And she goes, you know, I've been here 6 years and he was there every morning. She goes, but, and I was like, what? She goes, it's just a story. She goes, I have no idea, you know, if it's true or not. But she says, the story goes, he's been out there for 16 years. I was like, he's doing, like, he would walk, shuffle his feet, and I guess because they were so sore. And I don't know what he did, like, where he went during the day. Like, if he went A to get food or went wherever, and then, but 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, he was there. Smoking a cigarette, making noise, and anytime between 4 and 6, he'd just kind of curl up, and that's where he slept. And 6 in the morning, he was up sitting on his, you know, typically in the morning, he'd be sitting up early smoking a cigarette and he'd be making noises, whatever, when I'd run by. Once in a while, he'd be sleeping. You know, he'd been doing that for 16 years. And I'm like, you know, a couple of times I seen him when it was, you know, raining. I'm, you know, walking outside with standing with an umbrella and he, like, moved. You know, he wouldn't even, like, build a shelter. He'd just try to move under an overhang. Like, he was pretty hardcore. It's like, this dude, you know, like, looking at all these others, like, this dude needs nothing to survive. And I wondered, like, I, like, oh, I need a Q-tip. Oh, I need a tissue. Oh, I got a this. You know, all the stuff I have in my bathroom that I go get every 30 seconds or, you know, go to the bathroom or, oh, go to the fridge, get food, get a snack, get this, get. I'm like, that dude has nothing. And somehow gets enough money to get enough food and cigarettes for a day. And then gets up and does it again. And suppose he's done that for 16 years. And then here's the kicker. This is what I, like, completely hoped I didn't hear. The story goes, he was a cop. And I'm like, what? And wherever he was, he lost his wife and his daughter. He's been this way ever since. And I walked out of that 7-Eleven. And as soon as I walk out, I turn right where I'm going to head. And you see where he sits. And there's his stuff. Like his 3 bags and, you know, a little towel or rag or something. And or maybe some socks or something. You know, it's just like you can, like, that's where he, you know what I mean? Like, his imprint was there. And now I got that story. And I got that, you didn't like that guy. And I just felt bad. And I felt sad. Like, I didn't judge. I don't think I'm a very, like, I judge people. You know, but if someone kind of freaks me out, trips me out, I just avoid people. You know what I mean? I just walk away from them. And the people that are sympathetic and engaging, I commend those people. Like, I, you know, I've helped out homeless, you know, feeding the homeless and stuff at different times in my life. And there's just a struggle with that with me. And I don't know what it is. You know, again, it's not a judgment thing. It's just, I'm just uncomfortable. So I'm walking from that moment, that 7-Eleven, walking by that dead dude spot. And I'm almost to the corner where I turn right. Now, when I turn right, I walk a block, and then it's another half a block to my house. So that first block there that I walk on this side, like when I go to 7-Eleven or the post office, that's where that George Foreman lookalike dude lives. And I have kind of sort of shared some glances over the past few months. He's rarely out, never outside, never in the street, none of that. But he had some, obviously, some problems with cars, and his car's yet to be back after his windows were smashed. So I had no idea what was going on. And I think there's one time I walked by and he was kind of walking down his steps, and I just slowly looked, and I just know he saw me. And I'm not, like, trying to engage him or provoke him, but, you know, I'm not, oh, shuffling by like I'm scared. I'm like, no, dude, that's me. Don't say shit, you know, kind of like, I don't know what it is, but there's that moment. And again, I've never made contact, eye contact with him or seen him or anything. So that, just like that one moment, I just looked at him like, yeah, what's up? And I just kept walking forward. That was it. So I get this information from 7-Eleven that this dude had this story was cops supposedly and blah, blah, blah. So I got all that going inside of me. And I'm about to turn right. So I'm a block and a half from my house. Never see that George Foreman dude out. And here he is out walking and he's turning. Like, we're going to meet face to face. And I haven't even come close to him since I taught him a lesson, so to speak. And before I can even go, how do you feel about this? Because it was like that. He's smiling. And I'm like right away kind of transfixed. He goes, he don't want any help. Like this old crickety kind of soft voice. And he got like four teeth on the top and he's smiling. And I'm looking at him like, we're talking. Like, I got all this, that dude died and how did you feel? And you were never nice to you. Just all this stuff going on. And I got this George Foreman who's a completely different version of himself. Like, he's this jovial guy. He's smiling. And he's like, that guy doesn't want any help. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, and right past 7-Eleven is a post office. And at the corner of the parking lot, there was a homeless dude kind of barricaded, and, you know, in the tarp thingy. And so I didn't really pay attention to him because he's covered up. And I was like, what are you talking about? To this George Foreman guy. And he goes, the guy there, the homeless guy. I walked by, he said he didn't want any help. He goes, that's just sad. And I go, would you hear about the guy that died? And he goes, yeah. And I go, that's sad too. And I'm like, all right, have a good day. And I turn around and I'm walking away. I'm like, and it literally was not the guy I had the encounter with. I mean, it was. But I mean, that dude was evil, angry, pissed off, like just waiting for something to come. I mean, standing in his shorts and it's 60 and he's in the middle of the road. I mean, that was like the day or two before, but when I had my little moment with him, I mean, he was dressed, but he was standing in front of the middle of the road. It's small, like two lanes. You know, cars are, you can't park there. Like, it's very small. So if you're standing in the middle, every car's got to drive around you. And he didn't care. Like, I'm like, that was a version, a very specific, sounded like it was medication. I have no idea, but I was like, I had this complete internal emotional thing going on from the 7-Eleven event and finding out that information. And I was like, poof, hey, here's George Foreman. But the other side, the happy guy, I'm like, that was just a trip. So one of my favorite people, one of my favorite all-time listeners is Joe Ringinieri. And I stumbled upon a post, because he tagged me in it, from Joseph. And it reads, it's like Tom J. Dieter says, can't stop what's coming, so I might as well keep going. 70 consecutive weeks working out. Celebrated with a new personal record. Most consistent I've ever been, and trying to be grateful for the good. Hashtag you're fine. So Joe came to me, helped him out, got through some tough stuff that he was going through. And the entire time he was always, you know, thinking, talking, asking about working out and how he looked. And it was clear to me that that dude was never going to get what he wanted to happen from the neck down, because he was not in control of what was going on in between the ears. So if you're not in control of what is between the ears, you're not really even sure what you want, especially, you know, in yourself, because you're really not probably in the right position to get it. And, you know, he would try this really hard and then try that really hard and do this for a while and then do that for a while. Like, you just got to, like, not try so hard, but just do little things consistently. And one day I said, you know, Joe, you're fine. And homeboy got it tattooed in Sanskrit on his arm, you're fine, which I love the commitment. But now seeing him flourishing, complete butterfly. And he's posting success stories. And it's not to brag. It's to help others. And I just love this dude because he just always remains grateful. So a person on line comment said, "That's awesome. What kind of workouts are you doing and what is this app?" And Joe said, "It's the Peloton app. I do a lot of cycling and weight training. I can message you if you want the boring details. Or if you're looking for a personal online training, the above tag Tom Jaders will change your life." Which I thought was very, very cool. So I love that. Like, it's this success story. You know, this dude that's went through real serious stuff at a young age and questioned everything and came out fine and came out better. And now he's thriving. And again, it's, you know, 2021 just happened. 2021 just started. And dude's thriving, been consistent, the best he's ever been, the oldest he's ever been. And now he's like, "Yeah, digging how I am physically." And I'm like, "There you go." So, Joe, thank you, thank you, thank you for being you. So I was training in Hardwick. I go 3 times a week, typically Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and it was a Wednesday, and he's like, "You know, everybody just got shots. I'm going to hug my mom for the first time. She's coming over. I just think I'm going to skip today." And I'm like, "Yeah, do that." And then that Friday, he had a long day, busy day, podcast that ran long, and he's like, "So sorry, running late, you know, gets to the workout. So sorry." I go, "Dude, don't worry about it. I'm not, you know, this wasn't like, oh, this is the workout where I needed to just be, to be here present and fully committed." And then the next week it was, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and on Friday we're training and he just like kills it. Like, I kind of like, you know, it's like you're feeding someone, they eat it. You're like, "Okay, let me give him some more." And he eat that faster. So you're like, "Well, you know," it was kind of that kind of workout. Like, I just kept giving him more and more, and he just killed it. I was like, "Dude, what was up with that?" He's like, "No idea." I'm like, "They're like, when I, you know, I mean, his workouts are all good, but there's some that just stood out." And I said, "Okay, real quick, pop quiz. Last week, what workout did you miss?" And he's like, "Wednesday." I said, "What workout were you late for?" He's like, "I forget." And I'm like, "There's my point." In the moment, you're like, "Oh, I'm going to miss Wednesday. Oh, I'm running late Friday." And the next week, you show up Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and for some reason that Friday, you just kill it. I go, "See, that's what I'm looking at. You couldn't remember what workout you were late for." And if I said, "What was your, you know, worst," well, maybe because it was 2020, you can remember, "What was your worst moment last year?" Or like, people have these horrible moments, and then the next year, like, "I can't even remember them now." That's what you're focused on. Like, dude, you show up, check boxes. That's why you have success. That's why this Friday happened. Sometimes you can't always check a box. That's okay, because when you can, you do. That's your success. It's not a straight line. Da-da-tsh, title. So one of my other success stories is this client named Dan, who I've just out the gate admired, liked, and respected. And we just met. And he's like, "Guess what? We've met a year." And he takes notes, like, during the week, his workouts, pro-you moments. We go, I mean, just diligent, meticulous, organized, and just a pro-you champion. Like, he just gets it and says stuff with clarity that he's learned. And I'm like, "I'm going to steal that. I'm going to use that." But it was just great because he's like, you know, so pumped up because he's looking at it going, "Here's a book. A notebook over the last year, and I know what I've done, and I know how good I feel, and I know the work I've done." It was just empowering listening to him just share facts about how he was, who he was, the version that he was. And then here's like the greatest. He goes, "But this last week wasn't so good." So you'll typically get 6 like pro you moments / workouts in a week, and he's got this new eating plan, and it didn't really happen that last week. And I go again, and I told him the Hardwick story. I go, "See, it's not how you did this last week. It's how you did this last year. And that's what you're celebrating today. And that's what you're focused on. And that's why you were in such a good mood. But it's not a straight line. So I'm training the client, and he's been, you know, he's TV producer, and there'll be, you know, a couple weeks where it just gets nuts, where like you fight for sleep. So he gets online, always shows up. It's like, I'm a little tired. Understand, I get it. So we start doing the workout, and at one point I kind of starting to breathe heavy, and I'm like, okay, go ahead and catch your breath, and then we'll start whatever. And he goes into the exercise. Gets done. He's breathing heavy. I go, go ahead, feel free to catch your breath. And then we're going to do this exercise. And he goes right into the next exercise. So he gets done. And I'm about to do the next exercise. And he's like, can't catch his breath. And he's breathing heavy. I go, will you please stop and catch your breath before you continue? I was like, yeah, my breathing just sucks today. And I'm like, and that was like the epitome to me. I go, there it is. You're lacking in sleep. You know, you don't feel that great. And the old you's just ready to hammer. Yeah, and your breathing sucks. It's like, I've asked you to catch your breath 3 times. And you just kept going. Like, no, nah, I'm just going to get this done. I got to plow through. I got to keep going. I can't be catching my breath. I'm like, who's saying that? Because it's just you and I. And I go, and I'm not saying that. I'm shouting out for you to catch your breath, and you're not. 3 times I said to you, catch your breath, and you didn't. So I finally stopped you and made you catch your breath. And you said, God, my breathing sucks. I'm like, your breathing sucks because you're not allowing yourself to catch your breath. You're out of breath because you're working out hard. Got really nothing to do with being tired. Now, maybe you need to catch your breath a little more because you're tired. But I was just like, and again, that's the point. Look at that funky vista. I suck. Look at my breathing. Ah, it's like you could have canceled. Said, hey, I just not slept this whole week. Feel terrible. I'm going to sleep in. I would have been like, okay, I get it. Sleep's important. Done. Got it. But that, you know, so I told them both stories. I go, look, it's you just showing up and checking the box. Because he's been with me quite a while. And I go, you know you're better. And you kept showing up even though work got funky and there were a lot of hours and you were tired. You showed up. So the whole time I'm like, hey, way to go. Just fired up on you. And you just at any moment get a chance to critique yourself, you do it. And I'm like, see, that's not a straight line. So I was talking to a new client. And at one point she said, you know, there's only so much time in the day. And I got what she meant. Because I'm kind of telling her, making her suggestions. Well, this is what you should work on. This is what you should spend time doing. It's like, I am busy. I have a lot of stuff going on. I got a lot of stuff to do. And you're just kind of giving me more stuff. Like, where am I supposed to get that time? And I'm like, see, that's what a 6, not a 7 feels. And it's legit. I said, but if I snapped my fingers and I was next to you and handheld you for the next 7 days, I'd find time all day long. What about right now? What are you doing right now? You could close your eyes for 5 minutes right now. Hey, you could breathe for right, you know. I would just find time throughout the day. I just know I would. But see, when a person is in it, they haven't separated themselves from it, then it's how they feel. So even when I'm not doing anything, if my mind is spinning, if the monkey mind is busy, I still feel like I'm doing something. It's on my mind and I'm thinking and it's in between stuff, but I'm trying to work it out. And then I'm trying to think of what to do and I got my to-do list and I'm thinking about that thing yesterday and it's like, how could I have time to do things? And I'm like, well, here's the point. We all have stuff in our heads. Is it serving us? Typically not. I get why, but it's not really serving you. So to be aware of those thoughts, stop those thoughts, bring in new thoughts that serve you, challenge. Not going to happen quickly. And I think that's what this client is kind of experiencing. Is also, I'm like, okay, here's all the things you got to work on to be better. And it's like, wow, that's a lot of stuff. And I'm overwhelmed now. I'm tired now. I don't have enough time during the day now. And I got to do all that. And it's like, but that's her perception. And I'm like, I'll just be a mirror. I'll point out things that aren't serving you, that you think about, that you speak on, that you worry about. And then I'll just point out things that I think you should be focusing on. And it was about 30, 40 minutes into the conversation. And I stopped and I said, can you tell how you are now? Like, her whole energy had changed. And she was present. And she was listening. And it, it wasn't fun getting there. Kind of uncomfortable. But when I said, do you see how you are now and how you started? The difference? She says, yep. I said, see, right now you're here and you're present. And when I talk, you're listening. And you get it and it makes sense. And you're agreeing. So we're just going, okay, we're not going to go the way we were. And we're going to go the new way. And we're going to do these little things consistently. And we won't take on too much. And the whole time, this whole time I've been seeing her, she's understood it. She's felt the benefits, you know, found the breadcrumbs, you know, so there's enough good that keeps her leading. And I'm like, well, that's the thing, you have some sort of belief in the Sherpa. Yeah, well, the trip so far is going good. I understand, you know, he explained the journey. I do feel the effects, but it's the old monkey mind going, I got to think about all that now. And it's like, no, we're trying to stop the monkey mind from thinking about all the stuff that doesn't serve you and from all the stuff that does serve you. Just pick one, do that one, stay present, stay in the moment, and then move forward. But what's kind of cool is most people I'm talking to, I like and I enjoy, and I'm like, you know, I can see you. You've got the skill set. You know, you got this. This was the hard part, reaching out, asking for help, talking to the mirror, having these things. Now we just work on it. Now we just, you know, as my client said, Dan, we're just going to execute the plan now. So it was like, but getting to me, making that call, it's almost like that's now step one. And it's the beginning of that journey. But it's a new journey. It's an empowering journey. It's about you. The old journey didn't really serve you. And kind of kept you in a funk. And that's why you know, don't walk the earth with a gratitude list, most people. But why this person does have a gratitude list. And she's like, it just keeps growing. And I'm like, well, there you go. That's a lot to be thankful for. If you got a continuing, growing gratitude list, if that isn't what's consuming your mind, I don't know what is. Looking at the old dry erase board. I think this is the last topic. Cleansing. So I talked about cognitive dissonance. And one of the things was like, you know, I looked at these cameras I had. And I'm like, hey, why? Why do I have these? Like, I just, someone walked in and said, you know, I'll give you $500 for them. I'm like, cool, take them. And then that was kind of bugging me. And that's what prompted that conversation. And then also like the moving thing, you know, wanting to move, not wanting to move, thinking I should, and then thinking I don't want to even think about moving. So one day, it's like I'm kind of cleaning. I'm kind of packing, kind of going through things. I took two big stones and brought them over to, you know, my neighbor's yard. I made this new table, but I, you know, had to get rid of a makeshift kind of table, display table that I had. And one of the things I had was this big stump, and that went outside. And then I took other couple pieces and I brought them over to my neighbor's garden. So it's like there's like less stuff. And one day it's like in the little hallway, kind of like I have sliding closet doors, you know, the closet with sliding doors on one side, and the other side is just dressers, like halfway up, and then like a big mirror. And I'm like, there's just like kind of a shelf and this big mirror. So I just put these wine boxes, stained all these wine boxes brown, and then displayed in these wine boxes. Just put cameras, stone stuff, found art stuff, anything. Just like a big display area. But that's when I would walk by, and it was kind of like, well, that's there for cameras. And I got this whole area in these wine boxes. So I go, I'm always going to keep those wine boxes. I just like wine boxes that are wood. I stained them all. They'd be cool for storage. And, you know, I always think, well, the next place I'm going to have, you know, I kind of start painting this picture of what, you know, if I got a one bedroom, I would just stay living in the living room. I'd sleep there with Zen. And I'd turn the bedroom into the, like, the wood shop thing. I'd put all that stuff in there. And, you know, I kind of have an idea in my head if something like that would ever happen. So I go, I'm going to walk around my apartment, take all the rusty metal, antique, old stuff I have off the walls. I did that. I'm going to take all those boxes apart and take all the stuff out. I did that. And I was like, okay, now I got that whole clean area. It's just like this shelf and then a mirror. And I got these kind of 3/4 big pieces that are like, you know, 2 feet tall that I've made, found art pieces. And with that new table, I didn't want to put them there. And I'm like, I can just display them there. So you walk into the hallway and you just see these art pieces. And I'm like, I'm going to take 2 of those wooden boxes, throw in some shelves, stain them, and that'll be like my little camera collection. So if I want to keep 2 wine boxes, like the size of that, of cameras, then, I mean, it's way smaller. So I actually put those 2 wine boxes turned into shelves with the cameras in that same area all the way to one side. And then I put the 3 pieces up on the shelf. And then there's one more that just sits a little below it. That's like, I'm literally getting rid of stuff and keeping the good stuff. But I'm kind of cleaning my apartment. I'm taking things off the walls because I got a bunch of nails, meaning a bunch of nail holes. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to pull those nail holes and I'm going to fill those nail holes. Pull the nails and fill the nail holes. And I was like, I think I kind of like, I'm just in the back of my mind, like prepping, like getting ready to kind of move, even though I'm not thinking about it at all. But it was like this, like a deal. I use the word like cleansing because I had these, you know, like 8 wine boxes and I filled some stuff up. I'm like, okay, great. And I'm like, where am I going to put them now? Well, I have this metal and plastic 3 kind of little, what are they called? 3 little shelves and a cart. It's like a industrial kind of cart with wheels, and there's 3, what is the word I'm looking for? Not shelf, baskets, 3 baskets kind of thing. They're plastic. It's all gray. And I remember I found it. It was free, but no marks, no scratches, no nothing. So I put my bands, I put my yoga block, I put all the kind of fitness stuff in that thing, and I had it out in my living area because I used to train people here. Well, I fit that into my closet when I got rid of all my clothes. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, once in a while, I'll go in there and grab a couple bands and take them out and use them. And I was going, okay, what don't you use? And I'm like, I can take that gray thing out, put those wine boxes right there. You know, the wine boxes, most of them are full of stuff that I have. So they're kind of acting as storage right now, but I want to keep them. And I'm like, this gray thing I don't use. And, you know, I took all the stuff out of that and put it into a wine box. And I'm like, okay, well, it's had this gray cart. And I'm like, well, it's like, yeah, but it's cool. And it's like functional. And it's like, yeah, but you got to freaking put it. I put it outside and it was gone. Like, I didn't even know how long. But it was that like getting rid of stuff. And, you know, it's like, oh, get rid of stuff before you move. And get rid of stuff so you have left stuff to carry and left stuff for this and that. But it's just the cleansing of what do I really need? What do I really want? And the things I do have, I want to make nicer or better. And I'm like, what do I want to look at? And I'm like, well, I just didn't want to look at those other things, but I made that new table. You know, it's like, okay, that I'm going to go, you know, buy a piece of wood. I'm going to put it on there. And I'm gonna, that's what I want to look at. And I'm like, okay, now I don't want those things on top of that. I want just smaller, fewer things on that table. And it was just like, I keep growing, I keep evolving, and I keep changing. And I think now, this is kind of exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I don't have to move. I don't like the pressure of, I got to go there. I got to keep looking. I got to get on this. I got to find a place. I don't like that at all. I mean, that's not, you know, achieving that whole image of sitting in a canoe in a Zen pond, just chilling. I mean, I feel like that, like a lot of the time. So when there's a little murmur, a little ripple, I'm like, okay, if I can get that out, I will. It's like, well, I'm moving. And I'm like, just stop. You don't have to move. You're fine. You dig your house. You just made a new table. You're getting rid. Like, your place looks better. even though you're thinking about leaving, even though you're like kind of prepping it to move, you know, took down pictures, took down decorations, took down, you know, a bunch of stuff. But I have room for it. I'm making other room. And it's like, wow, I kind of like what's happening. Even though I don't have like a real plan. Like I don't have this. I'm doing this for that reason. I'm like, I'm just doing this because this is how I feel. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to grow my beard and grow out my hair. And then I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I'm like, yeah, the beard's longer than the last time I grew it. I'm like, part of me, I don't want to be the, oh, that's a dude with a beard. You know, I don't ever want to be known for the guy with the thing, with that, whatever. And I just, you know, after a while, I was like, yeah, it's just not, you know, a long, long white beard is not completely me. Like, I like to have it, but it's not like a forever thing. I mean, the one thing I do is change my look. I just do that. But this morning I got up and I'm like, I just totally trimmed it. I totally just trimmed it down. And I was going to record a podcast and my computer restarted. Some software update. I was like, ugh. And I literally went in the bathroom to do one thing. And there it was like 15 minutes later. And I was like, did not go in there to shave down my beard, to trim my beard. And I mean, I haven't had it this short in a year. I was like, yeah, that's just what I do. It's just how I felt. Yeah, wake up tomorrow morning, go, yeah, I'm going to shave my head. I'm going to shave my head. Wake up tomorrow morning, yeah, I'm going to go to the beach. Nope, going to the beach. I'm going to. I was like, and I have the power to do that. Then that's part of that feel-good power. Be grateful. Pretty soon, everything you have is everything you want and need. And you just roll around in that. You just feel good. And then you feel secure and you feel safe. And then clarity. Little kryptonite knocks on the window and you flick it away and you don't care. And you don't care what people think. And you don't care what other people are doing. And you stay present. Come to my well. That's what I sell. That's the water I sell. That's how I got here. I'm just hoping by having this podcast and sharing what I did just helps others, assists others, influences others, just motivates, you know, inspires something for you just to do certain things to make you a better you, because it's possible. You can be better at you, and your life as is can get easier without moving, without more money, without a different relationship, without anything. But you controlling the things you can, you allowing the things that you can't control to be. And then you just be present, be in the moment, be authentically yourself. Because you are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You Moment. As always, stoked you are here. The best moments of the day for you and I. Let's be in control of that which we can. Eyes closed, seated on the ground. Legs folded if you can. Shoulders over your hips, neutral neck, navel tucked into the spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose. We'll allow the exhale out the mouth. Already we're beginning to control a lot. So we're feeling empowered. Now we're going to focus on our breath. Connecting the mind and body. Slowing each breath down, elongating it. Being in complete control. maintain that, we must stay focused on our breath, stay connected, which will block out everything else and keep us present. If anything does enter, just kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. There it is. Little thing. Done. Hopefully consistently. It's like someone shows you one step. Says, okay, just do that. And when you do the one, it's finished. And you feel good. Then take another step and repeat, continue. Fast forward X amount of time, I'm here doing a podcast, sharing my one step at a time journey. It was never a straight line. I never saw the end. I never thought or wanted to know what the destination was. I just wanted to feel better, and I did that. And you're going to feel better when you focus on the journey and not the destination. Focusing on the journey means being present and being thankful for that which you have while you have it, with whom you have it with. had a secret to success, that would be it. Gratitude, 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 but it's not a straight line. It doesn't happen overnight. And that path, pro-you path of self-discovery, it's not for the faint or weary-hearted. But anyone can deem yourself worthy. If I did it, anyone can. Peace and God bless.